Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Faith in
the laws.
Our faith in us. Hopefully we have faith in this, in the judicial system. Do we have faith in,
the ideals of our country.
The ideals of our country.
Everybody.
For everybody. Freedom.
Everybody's life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Do we have faith in those things?
Yes.
What else? And what else do we have faith in?
Lines
on a highway. What's
that? Lines on a highway.
Lines on a highway. Think about that. Lines on a highway. You kind of have to have faith that that happens. Who has faith that the sun will rise tomorrow? Notice all the things in which we have faith. But I will say that at its heart, everything, even lines on a highway, all the things in which we have faith are born from our experience, if not relationship, right? If you cease to have faith in something, it's because of an experience or because of a relationship. You have ceased to have faith in something because it has failed you. Whether it's a sense of family, or the ideals of our nation, or a coach, or a team, or whatever it happens to be in which you say, let's put our faith in this. So often, we can cease to have faith in those things when they fail us. The things in which we have rock solid faith, however, are those things in which we have trusted relationships. Trusted experience. Be sure relationships evolve over time. They all do. They're shaped by our experiences, promises made, and kept, consistent action and behavior. And the best of relationships are the ones that, despite ups and downs, have a foundation of trust and faith. As Ms. Kitty shared with us this morning, we often come to faith in God through such trustworthy relationships. You might remember the story of Timothy in the Bible. Timothy is someone who I identify with because we are told, St. Paul writes, that Timothy comes to faith how? Does anyone remember? His grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. His grandma and his mama brought him to church. And that shaped Timothy's faith and he became a partner with Paul in ministry. Many, if not most of us, share a similar story, I imagine, of parents, of friends, of spouses, of Mr. Brian, or worship leaders, or other Sunday school teachers who have shaped our life with Jesus Christ. I remember, and I've told this story before, but I love it because it's so impactful for my life. I was sitting in the back of chapel one year, my first year of seminary, on a Thursday night, and I was really wondering about my faith. So imagine being in seminary, studying to be a pastor, and I guess because I was a little too close to the flame, perhaps, I was questioning, what do I really believe? Can I stand up on Sunday mornings and talk about this God? What do I think about this God? And what do I believe about that? And at that moment, right after I'd taken communion and come back and sat down, I saw Dr. Charlie Siegel, who was one of, if not the most brilliant, faithful man I've ever known. And I saw him singing Amazing Grace with such gusto and faith that I just watched him do that, and I closed my eyes and I prayed, God, you know I'm struggling, you know I am hurting, you know I'm uncertain, but if Charlie Siegel can worship and praise you like he is, then there must be something to it. There must be something to it with these people with whom I have relationship and in whom I trust and have faith, love God, and follow Jesus. Despite all of the rational reasons someone may question their faith, this person's smarter than me, which isn't hard, but so much smarter than me, and he believes it's so. There must be something to this. See, we need others to help us grow and learn and evolve our relationships, especially our relationship with God. And in fact, as Miss Kitty pointed out to our kids, we need each other. We need multiple spoonfuls to help us grow. I've had that experience recently in a couple of experiences. One was Thursday night. Our small group just got started. Heidi and I and Scott and Susan Marsh and Rachel and Corey Carlson, we got together and we were studying the parable of the sower. You know the parable of the sower. And it was so insightful because I heard from those people in my small group other ways to interpret that particular text that opened it up for me in a new way. Someone who's preached on that text many times, someone who has learned and studied that text in seminary and other times, but here something new happened. I was able to grow because of that. On Friday, we saw a beautiful relationship that has evolved here at Bethel with the Hodak, where the people who show up there are able to find rich relationship and community with each other in a new way. To see how God is working in the lives of those who come to be with us and dance and share that time, but also in the serving that happens here. People can't wait for that event to happen because it's a special place, a thin place, if you will, where God's encounter comes to us in a new, meaningful way. I was unable to be at the Hodown because I was at Caroline Furnace helping the kids there, the counselors, begin their season with a commissioning and worship service. And let me tell you, friends, that was a meaningful experience for me too. Being up on the mountain, on the chapel, on a beautiful day with all the kids there, we're singing and we're listening and we're praying, and I'm seeing and witnessing the beautiful relationship that our congregation has with Caroline First, with these young people who will be in our midst, and the way in which that impacts both of us. It means that no matter when we are caught up in the injustices and the struggles and the pains and the uncertainty and the discrepancies of our lives, and we wonder, what is God doing? Does God have a vision for our lives? Does God have a way for us to find hope? And I look back at these experiences. I remember Dr. Charlie Siegel. I remember the gift of small group. I remember worship here. I remember experiences with VBS or the Hodown or Shrimp Boil. I think about the moments that I've been overseas when I've been to Tanzania or perhaps you've been to India or the Philippines. I think about those moments when God has been made real for me through the relationship experiences of the church, of you. And those remind me that I can still, in the midst of my doubt and frustration, trust this God who has been made manifest, who has been made incarnate in my life through the people of God like yourselves. And what I've learned most through these relationships is that when my faith is as small and tiny as a mustard seed, it is enough. It is enough not because of me, but because of the work and the people who are believing around me, and the belief that we have together in the God who is always enough. God, who is enough for our pain. The God who is enough for our moments of uncertainty. The God who is enough in the midst of our hopelessness and fear. The God who is enough for anything and everything that our lives will ever encounter. And as we come to find out more and more often, as we tell these stories with each other, as we share and experience them in the midst of our serving together, and our worship together, and our study together, then we come to see that God is enough, that no impending doom, no natural disaster, no physical ailment or struggle, no political uncertainty, no pain of ours is ever without the inherent power and hope of the God who is enough. So how do we respond to the God who is enough? Well, I think we model our lives after Dr. Charlie Seaton, who sang with the light, who trusted and through years and years of practice and study amidst ups and downs and struggles and pains of all kinds, continued to delight in the Lord. And whether you grade yourself this day or any other day as having mustard seed sized faith or having the faith of a mighty oak tree or somewhere in between, because of the Lord's unwavering commitment to you, you can dare to trust and delight and have faith in the Lord. And if there's anything that we need in the Christian church right now, it is a little delighting. Delighting in the meaningful relationships that shape your faith. Delighting in the opportunities to share love, mercy, and grace in our hurting world. Delighting in the gift of worship and bread and wine and love and community. Delighting in your very own breath. Delighting in the promise of who God is, was, and will always be. Faith, Jesus tells us today, is about delight, finding joy, and trusting in the God who is enough. In Jesus' name. Amen.